Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
Good podcast. Fun times. Every day.
Social distance podcast.
Well, one of the many activities you can actually accomplish over social distance, even if we'd rather not.
What antiques are we talking about this week?
Big shout out to Antiques Freak Friend on the Antiques Freaks Friends Facebook group for suggesting this, Danielle. We're going to talk about Dodie Thayer's lettuceware.
Oh no.
And to a lesser extent, the concept of lettuceware, but mostly Dodie Thayer.
Please do tell, what is lettuceware?
Is that really a question you're going to ask me with your human mouth and say, I'm going to ask out loud, what is lettuceware?
It is, because I feel like this podcast is supposed to answer that question.
All right, well, I'm sorry that you had to come here for this, but let's try. Capital lettuceware refers specifically to the salad-related pottery of artist Dodie Thayer. Lettuceware, lowercase l, it refers to any pottery that looks like it might be lettuce.
Any pottery that looks like every piece is composed of different pieces of lettuce lovingly wrapped around each other. Everything looks like it came out of the cabbage patch.
All right, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to trot it out. So, lettuceware is cabbage. It's cabbage. There's no lettuce in lettuceware. It was all fakes.
It's the wrong shape for romaine, and it's the wrong color for iceberg, so it's definitely cabbage.
It was cabbage the whole time. You've been lied to. Your whole life, a sham.
The prestige.
Jackie O, a sham. The Duchess of Windsor, a sham. We'll get into that. Alright, so, bicycling gently back a little. I'm making the distinction because lettuceware capital L is very directly influenced by what we call Napoliware. Napoliware was an Italian pottery company from around the 1850s that was best known for both its soft-paste porcelains and its majolica. You might remember majolica from an episode on majolica. If you don't, turn this off. Go walk into a river. Wash yourself clean. Take the rocks out of your pockets. Walk back in the house and then listen to our majolica episode. So we did talk about majolica. Really, really rough, quick, and dirty. Majolica refers to a specific kind of pottery that has a specific kind of tin-lead glaze, most frequently found in natural earthy tones. It is a kind of like a far-reaching term that refers to a lot of different kinds of potteries, but notably majolica was really tied in with Victorian naturalist trend, right? Where we see a lot of pieces that look like lizards and leaves. Lizards and leaves, that's what I call it. The new hit RPG.
Lizards and Leafs.
Lizards and Leafs. It's a scaled-down version of Dungeons & Dragons.
It sounds like a Dinotopia LARP.
I wish with all my heart that there was an RPG based on Dinotopia. Oh my god. Anyway, so yeah, Napoliware was heavily influenced by this naturalist trend, and they did a lot of vegetable pieces. Just vegetables. Asparagus, a lot of asparagus. You might actually maybe be drawing conclusions to cornware in your head right now. Are you? Are you thinking about cornware?
I'm never not thinking about cornware, if I'm perfectly honest.
Great, because that's going to be a great dovetail.
If you're wondering what cornware is, it's pottery that looks like corn.
I thought about doing an episode on it, except that it begins and ends with just like, oh, does it look like corn? YN? Then it is or is not cornware. I mentioned this because the natural trend ended where all food trends eventually bloomed and died. The 1960s. The 1960s saw a really sharp uptick in what you might know as kitsch. And kitsch was, in layman's terms, because I refuse to define kitsch without Devin around, it was just things that were, like, novel. They were novel, and they were bright, and they were fun, and they were cheerful, and they were happy, and they were mostly useless.
If it's painful to gaze upon, it's probably kitsch.
Yeah, if you can't think of anything to do with it, it's also probably kitsch. In addition, they gotta be both things. So, in the 1960s, kitsch was beginning, and kitsch was kind of wrapping into the food stuff decor trend. And somewhere in Palm Beach, Dodie Thayer does pottery.
She sure does.
God, man, she's just... So she actually didn't do pottery her whole life. She and her husband at the time were very poor, and she picked up a kiln at a closeout sale from an art store, in part just because she wanted to do pottery, and in part to see if she could just sell a little bit on the side and make some money. So she sold souvenir ashtrays, and then, just because she wanted to, she made some casserole dishes and took them to a store called Aubon Gout, which sounds awful. Is that okay? You studied a little bit of French. How would you pronounce avant-gout?
I'd have to see how it was spelled.
G-O-U-T.
Damn, dog, I can't think of another way to pronounce it.
I think it's the good gout.
That good gout.
That good gout. It was a gourmet kitchen shop, and, as she recalled, the saleswoman said, quote, "But my dear, all our casseroles come from France."
France.
From France, said correctly.
D, I gotta level with you, that's not...
Is that not it? Edit it, chief?
No.
So, I found multiple articles that really emphasized that is how the woman pronounced it to Dear Dodie Thayer, and apparently she and none of her children ever forgot it.
Damn.
It was such a thorn.
A pronunciation that echoes down through the centuries.
So the shop owner, after saying that their casseroles came from France and they didn't want Dodie's crappy, cheap casserole crap. Or like crapserole, thank you. Here all week. Here all week because I can't go anywhere. The shop owner actually directly suggested she make pottery modeled after Napoleonware.
Now, is Napoleonware pottery based on pottery from Japan or pottery based on Emperor Napoleon?
It's spelled Napoli. I believe it's a province in Italy.
Oh, it's Neapolitan. Like the ice cream.
Is that what they call the Neapolitan region?
I have no idea, but I've just decided.
Breaking news. We know fuck all about Italy. So basically this woman just said, all right, try this, make something good.
And the ultimate art critique.
Yeah. Have you tried making something people actually want?
Have you considered making something that was bearable to look upon instead of something that sucked? I feel like it could really turn your career around.
That's going to make it, my dear. Make it.
Okay, sidebar. There was this one painting professor at art school who was legendary for making students cry. Not because she was, unduly cruel or bad as a teacher. It's just she didn't really put a velvet glove on anything. And one particularly memorable critique, she walked over to a friend's painting to see how it was going. And she pointed at part of the painting and said, if you put some green here, it would suck less.
Well, God, yeah.
She wasn't wrong, but...
She was legendary. If you could make it through her class without,
If you could make it through her class without having a breakdown, you would come out an amazing painter, is the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And also her own work, she defies the old cliche of people who can't do teach, because she can definitely do. Her surrealist wildlife paintings are a goddamn inspiration.
You get the distinct impression that she teaches because she can't afford to do full-time. mood.
So, lettuceware.
So Dodie Thayer did just that. She started making copies of famous Napoliware pieces. Except that she hated doing it. It felt cheap and... no one ever really has any fun making imitations of stuff. So she thought to improve upon the method. And she got experimental and she took sea grape leaves. I don't know what that is. And no, I didn't Google it. What do I look like, a rube? I assume it's seaweed. So she would press these sea grape leaves into a soft clay mold and then use the mold to make casts of the leaves.
Oh. Clever.
Yeah, after she got the hang of this, she moved on to cabbage leaves because their veining and patterning made for great details, and also they're just sturdier, so they took to the molding process better.
Okay.
And I don't think she ever actually made lettuce. I think it was always cabbage. I mean, she did some other vegetables here and there, but never lettuce.
Cabbage is forever.
In her own words, Dodie Thayer said they called it lettuceware. They were quite sure cabbages were degrading.
Did she feel vindicated when Cabbage Patch Dolls became a thing?
She didn't say. The other thing about Dodie Thayer is that she was also fiercely private. This is the precious little information anyone can really get on her.
On a scale of 1 to Lisa Frank, how fiercely private are we talking?
We're talking Lisa Frank.
Fuck.
Yeah, we're talking 3 interviews with her exist, period.
Damn, dog.
In the 1980s, she actually just quit pottery, despite being a phenom, and just started large predator fishing. Full time.
Listen, live the dream.
She was absolutely living her dream all the time. I feel weirdly, I don't know, triumphant that Lettuceware is actually cabbage.
Because it looks like cabbage? Because it is cabbage?
Because it's identifiable as cabbage among other things.
Because it looks nothing like lettuce?
Because I don't know if anybody who calls it that's seen lettuce.
Because I've seen a vegetable in my day, and sir, that is a cabbage.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm going to double down on that because this was the part that I found really the most incredible. I was ready to... I didn't know anything about Lettuceware. I assumed, actually, that it was all just, like, Victorian Majolica that became kitsch because Majolica lended itself to kitsch very well.
Majolica started kitsch and hasn't stopped from kitsch.
Well, Majolica aged out and became a kind of kitsch that was easier to appreciate because it was old.
Kitsch is not a time span. It is a look.
Yeah, kitsch is a lifestyle.
A look that is arguably timeless, in the sense that things were always the same level of horrifying.
Kitsch is a lifestyle that you can occasionally mask if enough time passes. but I was really stunned by the process that went into the Lettuceware, the Thayer Lettuceware. Each piece was handmade from a mold that was handmade from real leaves.
Jesus Christ, really?
Yes.
Oh my god.
And when I say handmade, I mean, her daughter actually claims, and it's easy to believe, although I don't think anyone's done, like, scientific comparison, because that would be insane, that no mold was ever used twice.
Fuck.
So, like, every single piece was a unique, irreplicable, unique leaf. And each leaf was unique in each piece that required multiple leaves.
It's organic design in the truest sense of the word.
It really is, and I think that's what makes these her pieces different for people. Because, you know, I look at it and I actually, I do like it. And I think it's because it's more natural, more passionate.
It is really fun. Like, I'm ragging on kitsch, but it is very fun.
It's fun in a way that other kitsch pieces aren't, I think. maybe that's just my elitism showing through.
Your ivory tower antiques elitism.
My ivory cabbage tower. the tureens were considered her masterpieces. Now, you know a soup tureen big.
Yes. Soup tureen big.
Her soup tureens were big even for soup tureens. They towered in at over 10 inches tall.
Oh my god.
Yeah, they were enormous and they were hand assembled from a couple hundred individual leaves.
She tureened the hell out of that soup.
She tureened the hell out of that soup. So she got really popular. She lived near Palm Beach, which explains how she got popular so fast and so immediately.
Because gay people love kitsch.
She was making kitsch in the kitsch capital. Like, so she was really like a local celebrity fairly quickly. She's in a lot of like local gift shops, that kind of thing. If you've been to any tour town, you've seen things like this.
Yes, yes, you have. You've seen the thousands and thousands of tiny identical galleries that manage to create works of art that are somehow all unique and yet all the same.
Welcome, folks. Today I'm going to tap into an unexplored vein of Ken's rage.
Listen, okay? There are only so many acrylic paintings of a lighthouse I can look at before I go mad.
I think we should start a new game, which is spot the number of times in this podcast Ken reveals he's from a small town surrounded by, like, vacation towns. Someone didn't like historic Deerfield.
Listen, historic Deerfield, devoid of lighthouses, very much inland. Beautiful. Wonderful. Love historic Deerfield. Less fond of the Cape. Apologies to Dawson and his creek.
When I was thinking of that, I was actually immediately flashing back to visiting Martha's Vineyard.
You don't understand. I've made this sculpture, but out of a seashell.
No.
Get it?
Pay attention.
Because we're at the ocean.
Look at it.
Where the seashells come from.
Are you looking at it? It's made out of seashells. I don't think you're really getting it.
This isn't any cat knickknack. It's a cat knickknack made of seashells.
There are googly eyes to represent the cat's eyes.
Do you see? I've made it fun and quirky. Enjoy.
People always talk about art like it has to be in the Louvre, you know?
I want Lettuceware in the Louvre.
It really should be for the amount of work that it went into it. The average waiting time for a custom piece was 3 years.
Damn.
And reportedly no one ever balked at the wait time.
Listen, never get between someone and their kitsch.
Here's the thing. They were correct to do so. We'll get into that in a little tiny bit.
Okay.
You may have noticed that saying things like Palm Beach means that when you become a local sensation, there's a lot of, like, rich, important people who are fans of you.
Yes.
So she started as a local sensation and very quickly became a national sensation. Some people who owned complete sets of Lettuceware, and I do mean complete, Jackie Onassis, Perry Como, the Duchess of Windsor, Frank and Barbara Sinatra.
Jesus.
An unidentified Tennessee horse farm that did once host the Queen of England.
What?
So I could not find the name of the farm or the people involved, but there was a horse farm that hosted the Queen of England.
Okay.
And they ordered Lettuceware specifically to feed her on.
Wow.
Assumably because they incorrectly thought she was too good for the trough, which is where she belongs.
Whoa, okay, all right. So we have returned to anti-monarchist freaks. Welcome back. It's been a while since we've made our feelings on the monarchy known. This is our feeling. Enjoy.
You'll always dial into a little bit of it here. I'm sorry if you're a monarchy, if you're a red coat.
I'm sorry if you're the queen.
I'm sorry if you're the queen. Sorry if you're an actual real red coat, not just a guy who likes to have fun doing a reenactment. I'm confused as to why you picked the red coats if you do like reenactments, because...
Someone has to... You can't just have all Minutemen. Someone's gotta be the other guys.
I guess you're right. This is all, like, not only just in her lifetime. This was in within, like, a pretty tight, like, 10 to 20 year sphere of her activity as a potter. And she staunchly refused to mass market any of her designs until she was in her 80s.
Damn.
Yeah. In 2013, she was approached by Tory Burch, who is a celebrity that runs an interior design company called Tory Burch, because these people can't get over themselves. and I hate it. I hate so much. Like, I hate everything where the line is just like their name. I'm sorry if you're a small business owner who did that, because I know coming up with a name is hard.
I'm sorry if you're the queen and you've also named your business after yourself.
Well, I'm sure there's like an Etsy where it's like, you know, Jackie Kennedy 2 Designs, and that's fine, but the minute you get famous, you better come up with a fun label, I swear to God.
These are Steve's Seashells. Seashell sculptures by Steve, by the seashore. You see, they're all technically unique because no two seashells are alike, much like snowflakes. Think about it, won't you? Thank you.
It's just, I'm Steve Stevesley, and I put seashells on tables and urge you to consider natural beauty. That will... So why did Tory Burch come sniffing around to steal all of Dodie Thayer's hard work from her? None of that actually happened. I'm being harsh. They actually became pretty good friends, which is supposedly why Dodie Thayer finally... made the okay for the mass production. Maybe because she just didn't care anymore because she had lived her best life, had a bunch of cool kids, had spent, like, decades being a large predator fisherwoman. And so maybe it had finally come to the point where she was like, eh, have fun. But she did. And she did this in part because in 1996, the sale of Jackie O's personal collection of Dodie Thayer Lettuceware, and this is $96, sold for over $5,000.
Oh, back when $5,000 meant something.
Yeah, and Dodie Thayer has, again, since the 60s, been a favorite of a lot of people who would go on to be enormous names in interior design and decoration. Would you like to know what her current pieces go for?
Oh, please tell me.
Why, the most recent sold for $28,000.
Now, when you say piece...
They're sets. When they hit the 10,000, okay. Sets.
Okay, yeah. You had me a little worried for a second, but also, like, I don't know, I would be okay with a single plate of Lettuceware going for $28,000.
Well, yeah.
Just because this lady seems like such a boss.
Yeah, like, $28,000, on the upper end, you get large collections going for $80,000.
Well, they're also all individual pieces.
Yeah.
Damn.
So that's what you're looking at for current prices for signed Dodie. You can actually get single pieces in the high hundreds. I think there is actually still a piece on eBay for $300. It's an excellent investment. One of my favorite things about it is while I was looking into this, there was actually a lot of people who accidentally bought Dodie Thayer pieces.
Oopsies!
And that is kind of the thing with kitsch, is that there's a visual saturation where you no longer distinguish between a rare piece and a regular piece of lettuce. And, you know, anyone who's been to Brimfield or a similar, like, huge antiques market knows that eventually you get burnt out on looking at things that look like lettuce.
Eventually. It takes a while. It
takes a couple booths, but you'll get there. And that does lead to delights such as accidentally buying an incredibly rare Doty Thayer original, which I think is very fun. If you can't afford a Doty Thayer original, and you probably can't, this is one of the very weird times, as will so often be the case with, you know, name brands. The antique Majolica tends to be cheaper.
Oh no.
If you trend a little towards the newer pieces, and by that I mean 1890s to 1900s, because there was a certain market saturation, you can get that vegetable charm in the low hundreds, sometimes less.
I just hate Majolica so much.
That's so unfair. Majolica is pretty and cool and interesting and very broad as a category.
It is the diversity of opinions that makes this work.
Okay, all right, that's fine. But yeah, so if you like the look of Lettuceware, it's actually fairly simple to just go find some antique pieces that are made to look like lettuce. And if you're, you know, if you want to have Doty Thayer originals, I think the Tory Burch reproductions are still being made. And they are, I'm told, affordable. I don't know that $400 for a platter that was made this week is affordable per se, but like you said, the difference of opinions is what makes everything work.
Ta-da!
As for identifying them, they're very easy. Doty Thayer signed every single piece. If it's not signed, it's not hers.
Dang. Any reproductions?
Only the Tory Burch officially licensed reproductions.
Wow.
And those are very easy to distinguish because the reason is that it was pretty impossible to ever reliably replicate them. So I don't think anyone ever really bothered. And even when they did, it never really made the radar as a threat to collectors because they were never as good.
Wow.
When you get to that level of like handcrafting, every reproduction is going to have very, very obvious tells. Because it takes a lot of work to make anything that looks that good. So all reproductions are very heavy and clunky and thick. In fact, that was the main criticism of one of Doty Thayer's children, was that the Tory Burch collection was very heavy. Mostly because people didn't want them breaking every 5 minutes.
I mean, you know.
So reproduction's not really an issue with this.
Cool.
Although there are a lot... There are a lot of Lettuceware pieces that are modern, because every time a famous person sells their collection, it gets an uptick in popularity. So you do have to be careful that what you're buying is old. And for that, you can look to some of our common suggestions, which is look at the foot. Does it have wear? Does it have uneven, natural crazing under the glaze?
Does it have monarchist spittle across it?
Can you see Queen Victoria's spit glowing like an unholy thing in the dark?
That's what they don't tell you, is that the royals are all bioluminescent.
And venomous.
Yes.
So that is the short, sweet, and in my opinion, incredibly fascinating story of 1960s Kish gone high-end. And lettuce. That was cabbage the whole time.
Cabbage forever.
Any questions, comments, concerns?
No, I just love cabbages now.
I love cabbages and not lettuce. Lettuce can go occupy the same basket as Queen Victoria's head.
Friendship ended with lettuce. Now cabbage is best friend.
Cabbage is my best friend. Sources for today include PalmBeachPost.com, its article, Doty Thayer's Iconic Lettuceware. Sotheby'sHome.com, its article, also called Doty Thayer's Iconic Lettuceware. And FortMyersFloridaWeekly.com,
Doty Thayer's Iconic Lettuceware.
No, that one was Lettuceware Legacy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, her privacy made it really hard to figure any of this out. You pretty much... If you want to know anything, you have to turn to people in Palm Beach, which were the only people she would speak to.
Oh, man, that was really fun. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad you liked it.
Oh, my God. If you would like to suggest other episode topics, you can email us directly at antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com, or you can hit up our Facebook at facebook.com/antiquesfreaks and join our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends.
Which is a lot of fun. You can suggest episodes. This was... a suggestion made on Antiques Freaks Friends.
Yay! If you would like to ensure other people listen to our podcast, you can tell them to do so. Leave a review in whatever app you're using to listen to this. Throw some stars on there. And also some words.
Any number of stars, any combination of words.
1 star, not actually lettuce.
5 stars. Fucking love cabbage, hell yeah.
If you would like to support the podcast, you can listen to deleted scenes at our Patreon... at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks.
And consider doing that, because it's cool and fun, and fun and cool.
Special shout out to our current patrons for paying our hosting fees and keeping the podcast lights on, in this case literally, because some of us don't have jobs anymore.
Yeah, so hey, would you consider that Patreon?
And thank you in particular for listening.
That's right, you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.